suppose to continue with what we're talking about here in the house, it hasn't changed at all, really. Because, you know, when you look around and you see the way that the house is decorated, you've got the dresser over in the corner, mm-hmm. you've got the... And, I mean, some of those old pictures would they have been here?
They were all here in my childhood, yes, and before that as well, yeah.
Can we talk about some of them? I mean, the one that's over the fireplace here...
That's Daniel O'Connell.
Yeah. And he was obviously well liked in this area.
He would have been, you see, because of the Catholic Emancipation, you see, it was him got that in 1929, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yes indeed.
Yeah.
And tell me about this picture here, which is another old 19th century picture.
That's there my lifetime now. I don't know, it's just a picture. I don't think it represents anything important. That one there is the gateway down below coming in, but there was a different gate there then when that was painted.
Yeah.
A chap that I went to school with painted that.
And it was a fence gate.
It was just a wooden gate, yes. Completely different now because during the bad flooding there a few years ago, like it washed all the gate away. It's completely different now, you know. It's been all redone.
Yeah. And was it always a warm house? I mean, did you
It was.
I mean, so it was the open heart or the open range, I suppose, that kept you warm.
Oh, yes, we always had that fire here, yeah. We have electric heaters now in the rooms and all that, you know, but they're used if the weather, which has been cold all winter.
That's what I'm thinking.
Don't have to tell you that.
Were you ever marooned up here, you know, where you couldn't get down?
In 1947... We were, you know, there was terrible snow that time and we were for a few days, but we weren't really marooned now because the guards down in Rathfarnham, we knew them all then. There was just so many guards there, maybe 8 or 10, mightn't even have been that much, you know. And they originated a helicopter that came up and landed there in our field.
Did they?
Yeah.
To give you provisions and...
They brought up provisions, but you see, we weren't really wanting them because my mother always had enough provisions in for the winter because you didn't depend on the weather then, you see.
Oh, that's interesting. So she would always be thinking ahead and...
Oh, yes. She always bought a 10-stone bag of flour when it had come up to November and that would be here in the house because she used to bake her own bread.
And what other items would she have that...
Well, anything that wasn't perishable she'd have. She'd have stores, so she's tea, sugar, and of course she made her own butter, so she didn't have to buy that, you see.
Yeah.
And anything like that you'd be using. The only thing now that you probably wouldn't have would be meat.
That's right, yeah.
And
there were no fridges in those days.
There was no fridges, not at all. No, there was no fridges. No.
Yeah. And the milk, of course, it was always fresh from the cows, it never pasteurised.
Cows were milked night and morning. Yeah, it was fresh milk.
Yeah. Do you notice a difference in the taste of food?
I do. It doesn't taste like milk at all.
The butter
just wouldn't taste anything at all like what we'd make ourselves, you know. Mm. I mean, I made the butter long until we sold the cows there a couple of years back because there was too much hassle with all the paperwork you had with them, and for the few cattle we kept it wasn't worthwhile, you know.
Mm.
We don't keep cattle now, just the sheep.
So the difference between keeping the sheep, James, in your time and keeping the sheep in your dad's time was that, you know, he was totally dependent on the sheep.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah. And then there was a difference too, that they had to stow their own turnips and that. Stow turnips and mangle, and we need to do their own hay and all for the sheep. For the sheep and cattle. Where it's different now, you can buy in everything you want for them, really. The silage and nuts and all for the sheep. Plus, they had to manage their sheep like 12 months of the year outside. Yeah. Where we house them now. We house them all for lambing now. Where they had to used to do is to have to lamb them all out. Well, I've done it myself in years gone by, I had to lamb them out. But we don't do that. We don't do it anymore now.
Yeah.
It's too much hardship with weather and foxes and all like that. Where you can buy our feed now, where you don't have to sow anything yourself now, really.
Right.
Not for the animals anyway. You just you can buy in the nuts for them, and it's much handier to feed them in the house now than trying out in a wet day or snow or anything like that.
But in the past, it was always a field of turnip and mangles, was it, for them?
Yeah. They used to sow turnips and used to sow mangles and things like that. Used to sow potatoes and all as well for their own use. I remember that's the only potatoes and all. But then we started to get, what happened here was the deer start coming in.
Yeah.
So not only were you feeding the sheep, but you were feeding the deer as well.
There's always something like that.
So that's it.
But the wildlife up here, in your childhood now, going back again, was there many foxes and badgers and...
No, because there was a gamekeeper. As I said, the house over on the other road, a gamekeeper lived there, Mr. Stubbs. And he kept them all down, foxes, badgers, everything he did away with. So we had no trouble then. But now they've overrun the whole country, foxes, badgers, deers, anything that you like to mention is there now.
And what about bird life then? What kind of, is there any?
Well, the grouse now, which used to be very plentiful on the hill, they're gone very scarce.
Yeah.
Very, very scarce. But the other birds, yes, James, they live in the sheep shed where the nuts and everything is. I think they've the place to try it out there.
Well, I'm sure that's the... But what about partridge? Do you ever remember partridge?
No.
Yeah.
I think, did you say there was a pheasant or something out there?
Pheasants out there now where I'm feeding the sheep. I've laid out cows and lambs in the field. I'm feeding them nuts now on cree feed.
Yeah.
So the pheasant is coming in now to pick up the grain.
That's it. Oh, yes. And anything, migrating birds, anything like
we get the corncrake
or the swallow?
No, we haven't had corncrake for years.
But it was here, though, was it?
Oh, it was here, yeah. But not for years now. It hasn't been here.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. We just get the swallows. That's about the only migrating birds that come here, like, you know.
And I know it's all machinery now, but again, before machinery, there wasn't that much ploughing. I'm sure the quality of the land wouldn't be good enough for tillage, really, for a lot of tillage.
Well, I suppose it wouldn't be for a lot of tillage if you were growing grain or anything. We never did really grow grain, you know. It would be potatoes, turnips and that kind of thing, you know.
And that the horse and plough did that, did it?
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
And you, I'm sure you never stood behind a plough yourself.
No,
you know?
I didn't. No.
But so you saw all that change then, and the tractor come in, and you know all of that. But you know, when it came to cutting the grass, was it hand cut with a scythe, or was it? Did you remember that time? Or?
Well, it would depend on the part of the field you were cutting. If it was a steep bank, you'd cut it with a scythe. But otherwise, it was done with two horses and a mowing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ours was always cut with a mowing machine, except for a small bit of the field there, slopey, that'd be cut with a scythe.
Yeah.
But it's only about a quarter of an acre, you know.
Did you give names, or were there old names to the different areas of the mountains here? You know, did you have a name for the?
There's one part of the hill out there they call the Round Meadow.
Yeah.
Now, how that came to be on it, I don't know. Like, that was always there in my childhood, you know. And the piece up over the house here, right up on the top, was always called the Furry Park.
The Furry Park.
The Furry Park, yeah. But there's no furs there. I don't know why it was called that now, but it could be from way back years. There's plenty of places up on our mountain here where you can see the where somebody sowed potatoes in years gone by, where they would have sowed them in ridges, big wide ridges.
Oh, the famine ridges, yes.
It must be, I don't know now. I don't remember it, nor I never heard how they come to be there, but they're there.
Oh, where is that exactly?
Well, there's some of it just the far side of the house there.
Yeah.
And up at the back here, there's another...
The old style.
It's up on the right bank, isn't it, James? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just the marks of where they were.
That's it. What's the name of the field that they're in? Or did you give a name?
Not really, no.
And was there any archaeological, you know, any old standing stone or...
not around here, no.
Ring fort or anything
no.
like that?
No,
yeah.
We never had anything like that at all.
And then the families that, you know, you spoke about, I mean, your own people are here because of the Land Commission and that. But there was a lot of migration in the countryside. Your other neighbours on the hills, can you remember their names?
Well, any neighbours that I remember, they're still around. They never seem to go away. Or even during the last war, when an awful lot of people went to England to work, they didn't seem to go from around here because they were all involved in farming. And they seemed to carry on at that and made their living there. But then most of the young men at that time, they would go out and work on the buildings or... You know, maybe lorry driving or something like that. But they all worked at home. They didn't go to England.
Yeah, there was enough to keep them here.
Enough to keep them, yeah, locally, yes. Yeah.
So there was no television set or no radio in the house. Was there for a long time? Or
no, well, we have... I can't tell you the date now, but we have a radio for umpteen years now, you know. But no television, no.
Yeah.
Just in recent years that the television came. I'm not very interested in television now, I'd rather read. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And was reading a big part of...
It was a big part of my life. I loved reading. I loved reading. And when I was, I suppose, now called teenager, I loved reading cowboy stories. We used to be swapping them rings round everybody. Was into reading these cowboy stories.
Really? Yeah.
They
were all the go, of course.
They were all the go then, yeah. Like, we never felt isolated. When I was going to Glen Cullen School, we sang in the choir. And the schoolmaster that was there then, we had a tin whistle band, which we travelled all over Dublin to different venues playing night time. I played on the Camogie team.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you good?
I don't know whether I was or not now, but...
Did you win that?
We normally won.
And what was the name of the club or the...
Oh, it's just Glen Cullen, just the name of the school, Glen Cullen Camogie team.
Okay.
Yes.
And there was a great... because we're back before the war years again now, when you were playing your Camogie.
Yeah.
And there was a great drive, wasn't there, to promote Irish culture? So all your subjects were true Irish?
All our subjects, any geography that I learned, the most of which I forget now, I might add, I done it in Irish. Mm. We didn't do even the towns, rivers of Ireland or Anton in English. It were all done in Irish. Schoolmaster in Glen Cullen was from Clare at that time.
Oh, what was his name?
And his name, Shannon, Mr. Shannon. Yeah.
And he brought the Irish, I'm sure, with him from Clare.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Now, I don't know. But, we didn't like him. We had a schoolmaster before him, and Mr. Cassidy, it was him that had the Tin Whistle Band and the Camogie team and everything. Like, he was into all that kind of thing with us.
Yeah.
And he was a reserve in the Irish Army. So when the war started, he was called up into the army, and we got this Mr. Shannon. And of course, he did away with the Camogie team and the choir and the whole lot, you see.
Oh, my goodness, changed the whole lot.
We didn't like him. Yeah, yeah.
And the music, was there a lot of Irish music in
well,
your
it would have
time?
Been all Irish music, that band that was in the school, like Tin Whistle Band. Well, yeah. James's two daughters now, when they were going to Glencullen School now, they had a Tin Whistle Band over there too. They were back into that now, the teacher that was there then, you know.
So there's music. Was there music in your family? Did your father or mother play an instrument?
Or? No, they didn't. No. No, neither of them.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm just thinking about the long, lonely nights, you know, here, sitting around the fire and you know, kind of, there was no visitors and no...
There would. There'd be always somebody in. They come across the field there.
Come up across the field.
Just a field, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so there was great company. There must be great conversation around the fire then.
Oh, there was. Well, card playing. There used to be card playing.
Yeah.
Play cards.
What kind? What game?
Oh, 25s.
Was it?
25s, yeah. Yeah.
Was there... you know, the discussion that would go on, I'm sure it was sheep prices and cattle prices and that.
Exactly, yeah. That would be what they'd be talking about.
But were they talking about the economy and what was happening in the country? And
well, not that I can recall now. I don't ever remember them sitting down there and debating the economy. They'd be talking maybe about sheep prices or cattle prices or arguing over the cards they were playing, one or the other.
But do you know the way we're in a bit of a... A downturn now.
You certainly are.
Did you ever experience downturns in your life? I mean, you know, hard times.
Well, not that I can remember now, quite honestly, that I never, thank God, never had hard times. Now, I can honestly tell you that I didn't.
Even though maybe a lot of people were going through, you know... They called the 50s the hungry 50s. They called the 1930s the hungry 30s.
Yeah.
But that was never, you never experienced anything.
Well, definitely, I never saw anything wrong in the 1950s. Maybe there was, but we seem to be all right here now. I don't know why, but...
Yeah.
I don't ever recall wanting for anything, to tell you the truth.
And when you were... I suppose you may be too young to remember, but the economic war in the 1930s. Do you remember your father having tough times selling sheep at that stage?
No, I don't think there was tough times selling sheep, but the only thing I remember about the 1930s was that he bought calves for a half a crown each. And I think we had 12 here. And we had the milk to feed them. So then... We made the profit on them when they were big enough to sell, you see.
So you actually made money out of the house of the at that time?
Yeah.
Imagine.
And, yes, I remember that now, all right, but other than that now, I don't remember much about the 1930s, you know. But I remember him buying them calves, and I know why he paid for them, half crown each.
Why does that stick in your head?
I don't know why now it sticks in my head. I can just remember, I suppose, because we wouldn't have that many at any other year, you know, but one shed there was full of, there's 12 calves in it.
Yeah.
And we used to bucket feed them.
Imagine, yeah.
And
so kind of, James, can I just ask you again, when you kind of came to the time when you... Did you want to make change yourself, or did you just leave things go the way they were? Or,
Well, we kind of left things the way they were. I went out to work, you know. I didn't kind of. I didn't really farm here.
Oh, did you not?
I helped out, but I went out to work. I was out working.
Where were you working?
I was working to Dunleary, right down council.
Were you?
Which was, well, was the local county council then? Was the old, it used to be the Dublin County Council when I started, but it's divided up now. I'm with the Dunleavy, right, and still with them.
What exactly doing?
I'm a lorry driver with them.
Yeah.
I'm just on leave for the night, last week and this week. I'll just leave. Holidays, you know.
Yeah.
Holidays at the end of the few holidays I had, just you have to take them by the end of middle of April or thereabouts, you know.
Oh, I see.
For the last years, and then but I always worked out. I only kind of farmed part time here, regards the sheep and the cattle. But then, as the mother said there, we got rid of the cattle because there was, with all the paperwork and everything else, and the prices of everything, foodstuffs now gone, it wasn't paying to keep them.
So, for the first time in your lifetime, so Maisie, you saw that, you know, there wasn't enough, you couldn't make enough to keep you going out of the farm.
Well, you would make enough to keep you going, but I suppose from what money was made, was enough there to keep going without having to be killing yourself, in other words, you know, looking after cattle. And then I was got to the stage, as you see, I was born in 1926. It was me really that looked after the cattle. I always handled the cattle and did everything with them.
Oh, I see.
And apart from the paperwork, now was the most of it that made us get rid of it, you know. All these newfangled things to put on for you to do. But I got to the stage then, past couple of years, I wouldn't have been able to look after them, you know.
Of course, yeah. It takes a lot of work and a lot of physical work.
Up at 6 o'clock every morning, you know, when I had cattle and all, yeah.
And the sheep then, the mountains, do you own some of the land that the plantation is on? Or
no, no, we don't own any of that, no, no. That belongs to the forestry department.
And the bog area,
ours.
It's still being used, is it?
No.
It's cut away now at this stage.
It is, yeah.
So there's very little, really. And the letting sheep roam in the hills, does that pay, or...?
Well, it does. Ours never goes that far now, because in the winter they're fed, you see, with nuts and everything.
So you can keep them around. Yeah.
Sheep is not like... sheep is not like what they were years ago. Yeah. Sheep years ago, the minute you let them out of the field, they were gone to the hill. They were always anxious to get out of the hill. It's kind of with all this hand feeding now and housing the sheep and all, the sheep's gone the opposite. It's nearly they want to get back in now when you let them out. They're gone they're on their way when they're getting the feeding much handier than go look for it. It's been handed to them now. So they think, yeah, you should be handed to them all year round.
Yes.
So they won't, they don't go out, if they go out the hill now, they don't go very far. Like years ago, you could go out in the mornings, maybe 8 o'clock together in sheep. You'd be lucky if you got back with them again nightfall.
Yeah.
You could be all day on the hill gathering. Where you could walk out now and I guarantee if I went up the hill in the middle of the summer to get them down, I'll be back within an hour with the whole lot of them.
Would you?
Yeah.
And was that with a dog or without a dog?
Oh, with a dog. Oh, you'd have to do that. At one stage, you'd have to have two dogs.
Yeah.
One stage, I'd have two dogs with me, but now you'd work them with one dog.
I'm sure that the dog played a big part in the sheep, which in your father's time as well, Maisie. Would I be right in saying that?
It did, yeah. Well, my father used to train dogs for people, not sheep dogs now. You know, if people got a new dog, a pup 6 months old or anything, they'd bring them here for my father to train them after the sheep.
Really?
For them, yes, yes.
And would... So your dad was a good man with dogs, was he?
He was, yeah. Well, he was a good man with dogs, but I can remember my mother, you see, the dog would be left here until he had it trained, and she was the one that always had to feed him. Yeah.
Did you grow very attached to the sheepdog that would be in the house, or...?
No, not somebody else's dog. I'd be attached to her own dog.
Yeah.
But... I mean, you'd never ill-treat the dog or anything like that, yeah. But I wouldn't be kicking up when he'd be taken away again, you know.
But were they good working dogs?
Well, some of them would be good working dogs and some of them you couldn't train them.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what was done with them, you'd never get them trained to do what you wanted them to do with the sheep.
And James, did that pass over to you? Were you a good man with dogs yourself? I mean, could
fairly
you?
Good, yeah. Yeah. Fairly good. Fairly good with the dogs.
And they could bring in the sheep from the mountains for you?
They would, yeah. They would. You could send, years ago, you could work two dogs in the hill, and you could one dog could be working maybe half a mile away from me.
Really?
He could work away, get it up. I could drive one batch maybe, and he'd drive another batch of sheep for me. I'd have the second dog then with me as well, and he'd be working away on the other one.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that. So it made life easier if you had a good dog then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, in my opinion, if you hadn't got a good dog, you'd be no business going to the hill to get a sheep.
Yeah.
You'd never get them off it. The sheep would know themselves. Like, and as I say, that time, the sheep was a lot, they were a lot wilder. And if the sheep thought you were bringing them in, it'd nearly be the opposite. It'd be trying to get away from you. Where it's gone the opposite now.
Yeah.
But, the years ago, you definitely need good dogs. But you had to travel. You'd be travelling acres and acres. You could travel up to 2,000 or 3,000 acres on a mountain.
Really?
And they'd stray off. They wouldn't even stay on their own hill. They'd be straying off onto other hills as well, which would have a... You could be walking for hours.
Yes, I'm just thinking of your husband and your father. They were all into sheep over the years,
really. Yeah.
And your son. And so, with three generations working sheep, just thinking.
Well, I have two granddaughters now, and both of them girls has their own sheep. And the eldest girl, she has pedigree sheep out there.
Oh my.
So you're talking about four generations.
Four generations on John sheep.
Yeah.
And each of those generations really work sheep differently. Would I be right in saying that too? You know, that, say, for example, your father would have sold the wool down to the... you mentioned the place that...
Craigies.
To Craigies.
In Smithfield, yeah.
Smithfield.
Yeah.
And your husband then, who did your husband sell the sheep to?
Well,
Well,
we still brought it into Craigies until Craigies went out of Smithfield.
All right, right through that time.
Oh, yes,
as well.
Yeah. And then now it's Pierce's of Wexford. They buy the wool now.
Yeah.
Or Rathdrome, actually. They're not in Wexford. That's the machinery. No, Pierce of Rathdrome, he buys the wool, but he comes to Blessington and he collects it there. You know, you have to bring the wool to Blessington, and he collects it there. But there's no price for the wool now at all, you see.
But there was a reasonably good price.
Oh, there was a very good price. Well, in my father's time, there was a very good price.
Was there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can remember then there was Hills in Lucan. They had a woolen mills there, and I often remember him bringing wool there to Hills of Lucan. Because I often went with him.
And that would have been... that would have been an experience. Was it a big lorry or...
A lorry. Yeah. Oh, lorry. Because, I mean, when you pack the wool, the packs is the height of that, you know. It'd be that height and that width. And you'd have to have a lorry to put them in.
Of course, yeah. I mean, a lot of manual work, a lot of hard work, but the men that came here to help him, were they on contract then? Were they contract wool cutters?
No, the man that used to bring the wool for us lived across the road there, about a half a mile away. Hmm. And he had a lorry. And then, as I tell you, they also had a quarry out in Glencree, the same family. And they had a lorry for drawing their own stones. But he would... Neighbours helping one another, that would have been, you see.
And they do it voluntary.
Oh, God, yes. They were never paid or anything like that. There wouldn't be any such thing. Like, they do that thing for my father. And they kept a lot of sheep themselves. And my father had a dipping truck. That's for dipping the sheep. Well, they'd bring up maybe 300 sheep and dip them here in our dipping truck because they didn't have one. And then if he wanted something done, they'd bring the lorry in to do it for him. But there was no money exchanged or anything. It was all neighbourly work.
Yeah.
That was the way it worked.
And harvesting the wool, it was almost a guaranteed check then, you know, that you were going to get paid at a certain time of the year.
You get paid as soon as you brought it in to whoever you were bringing it to. If you brought it in to Craigie's, you got paid that day when it was unloaded.
Yeah. Can you remember what the check was?
I couldn't now, to be honest with you. I couldn't now.
But that would have to keep him going then for the rest of the year, I'm sure, and into the
Would be the money from the wool. But then you'd be selling sheep then all along September, October and November. You'd have sheep fit to go out to the mart to sell. You see, you'd be getting money for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I tell you, we had cattle then, and you'd be selling them. Usually they were sold out in November, any of the cattle that wasn't going to be kept the winter.
And the reproduction, the breeding of sheep, would there be many new lambs coming in each year?
Well, when he had 300 ewes, and he could have anting up then to maybe 500 lambs, you see. Some of the sheep would have twins, so he'd end up like, out of the 300 ewes, you'd have 500 lambs. And I suppose half of them would be what they call ram lambs. And, of course, they're sold. You don't keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it was an art, really. You really had to know what you were doing.
Oh, you did.
To manage.
There was no point in doing it if you didn't.